Gloucester up to the Leicester line, they're trying to roll it off and they've got to the line and that ball's gone down and the score is given!
So as we leave Kingsholm Road and walk into the main gates here at Kingsholm, many of the feelings come pouring back to me when I'm fortunate enough to play for this club. Having been born and bred in the city, 2 or 3 miles from the ground, watched as a young boy from the terrace, I've always been acutely aware of the heritage within the club and the great honour it is to play for Gloucester. Years ago, all the players would, in the early 1900s in particular, would have been like they were in my day, mainly local lads, fully aware of what it means to pull on the Gloucester shirt. Back in those days, with the Great War, many of them would have left, never to return and play for their club again. So we're at the top of the grandstand now, walking into the 1873 area. There's memorabilia on either side of the wall of past players, and joining me here is Martin Davis. So Martin, why is it you've brought us here today?
Well, I'd like to show you a particular display down here that has the photographs of 3 players that fought in the Great War. But the guy I'd really like to talk about is Harry Berry, who's in the 1st Battalion of the Gloucesters. Now, Harry was a professional soldier, fought in the Boer War. He'd gone on to the National Reserve in 1907 and joined the rugby club then. Played 144 times between 1907 and 1914, including 4 caps for England in 1910, in which he scored 2 tries against Ireland and Scotland. But in January 1915, he goes across to France and joins his regiment over there. And then on the 9th of May 1915, he is in the front line at the Battle of Ober's Ridge, when the British go over the top and Harry is supported by 5 or 6 other players from the rugby club, and basically they're met with a hailstorm of lead, machine gun bullets, shrapnel, etc. And Harry dies as a result of his injuries. Now, Harry is extremely well known in Gloucester, not only is for his rugby exploits, but also for Gloucester, but also for his international exploits as well. And for several weeks after that, the Citizen run lots of articles on Harry Berry, but also published lots of letters from his officers, his NCOs, and his comrades. And I'd just like to read you a quick one from his friend, Thomas Priday, who wrote about the minutes before going over the top. He said, "We shook hands with one another. When we returned the next time, my mate, poor Mr. Berry, was missing. When it was dark, I went out to try and find him, but was not successful. I am downright sorry for him and his wife and 2 dear little ones. We kissed the photographs of our wives and children before we made the charge. There were 12 of us in our section and only 7 returned."
I mean, we stood now, Martin, looking at a picture of Harry in his England shirt there, and you talk about him being well known. And back in the days when I played, you're always conscious of the heritage of the club, and you walk down and you look at these pictures, and it's not until you start telling the story that it actually brings it to life, because it appears so long ago, and it's quite an emotive subject. And I just wondered, you know, how on earth could those players have been in the pre-season training, getting ready for a start of a new season, and all of a sudden they're being called up to go to France with a fairly good chance they're going to lose their life?
Well, I don't think anybody really knows how they managed that at all, frankly, because at the beginning of August, before war was declared on the 4th, they would have been looking forward to their first game, which would have been in 5 weeks' time. And yet within 5 weeks, they're all in the army and they're going off to their training camps, except reservists like Harry, because he was a professional soldier.
And you talk of this, people quote that say that, you know, they reckon rugby players make the best soldiers. And I think some of the characteristics of, you know, a team sport, and actually, you know, going down to places like Wales on a Wednesday night where you're going to get a kick in, quite frankly, it's those traits stand them in good stead in the army.
I think that's exactly right. On the rugby pitch, you look after your mates. You stand as one or you lose the game. The same is in the army. When you go over the top with your comrades, and in the case of the 5th Battalion of the Gloucesters, where most of the rugby players are, you're going over with your teammates as well. If you don't stand together, you will die. There's no two way about that. And I think that's what drove them on. You know, they didn't want to let their friends down, their comrades down, and their other players down as well.